You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Right. Are we recording?
This says we're recording.
It's recording just as we approach the Nestle Quick Rabbit.
Oh, the Nestle Quick Rabbits.
An old favorite of ours. It's always a landmark.
Landmark of Nestle goodness.
Well, hello and welcome to Building the Game. I'm sorry, Driving the Car, a documentary road trip. You're listening to episode, I think this is episode 3 of Driving the Car. Or episode 220, I think.
220, yes, you're right. Wow,
Building
first
game.
Time.
The documentary podcast. I'm Rob. I'm driving again. I always drive.
Because he is a control freak who likes to drive.
No, because my car gets better mileage than yours.
Yeah, also the control freak part.
Well,
I'm anyway, not complaining. I'm glad to ride.
Yeah. So, we're driving over Gen Con. And that's cool. Yeah, Gen Con's over.
We are tired.
We're very tired.
Of Gen Con.
Yeah, sorry if I'm distracted. I'm driving. So... Yeah. So Jason, tell us about Gen Con.
Yeah, so Gen Con was good, as always.
Uh-huh.
We came in Wednesday nights, as we usually do. We checked into the Hyatt. First time staying at the Hyatt.
Uh-huh. Big win.
Big win. Wow.
Big win tie.
Super duper close to Gen Con. Much closer than the Embassy Suites.
It was digital, man.
It was, yes, indeed. And it was also attached, which was great. The Embassy Suites, of course, attached through a series of tunnels and bridges and some secret
basically
passageways.
Basically through the Hyperloop system.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah.
Right.
So you end up in California on the way there, but you never have to go outside. But anyways, so the good news is this is attached much closer and was fantastic.
Yeah, nice place.
Good space in the room. We were surprised about that.
Yep.
Until today, the elevators were great.
Yep.
As of today, they were not so great. But
it was Sunday. Everyone was leaving.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It also made it really nice for us to be able to come back to the room. We went back to the room a ton.
Yeah.
Just pop back in.
Pro tip for anybody who is going to Gen Con in the future and you're waiting for the elevator. If you are at your room and you want to go down, don't hit the down button. Hit the up button.
Yep.
Hit the up button. It's worth it. Because, you know, people always want to go down on Sunday. They don't want to go up.
Yep.
So if you hit the up button, you're more likely to find some open space. It means you have to ride it up to the top, but whatever, at least you're moving.
I feel like if we just kept hitting the down button, we'd be recording this podcast in a hallway right now.
Yeah.
On the 16th floor of the Hyatt.
I'm concerned that when our elevator going down, we finally got on it, and our elevator stopped at almost every floor. I feel like some of those people who were very sad to see our elevator full, they might still be standing there waiting.
I would believe that.
There's a real chance.
They're just going to wait for next Gen Con.
Uh-huh.
So they'll get a good priority, booking on their hotels.
Uh-huh.
I'm just kidding. They won't. They'll just be sitting in a hallway. But, yeah. Anyways, good times.
Yeah, so Hyatt was good. That night, we pretty much just hung out in the Hyatt, right?
Yeah, we hung out in the Hyatt with some people. Mr. Kacharski showed up.
Yep.
Was a good time. We also ran into Matt Loomis and Isaac Shalev.
Yep.
It was good times.
Yep.
Played some games, played some prototypes, got some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And called it a night pretty early that night.
We did, yeah. Let's see, we played Matt and Isaac's game, Crimson Sails.
Yep, and that was fun.
That was fun. They kind of started with the idea of Liar's Dice.
Yep.
And then built a big system around that. Made some changes to Liar's Dice, of course, but that's kind of the core concept. And I liked it a lot. A lot.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it. The rating system using the Liar's Dice was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
It was a good fit for that, I think.
Right.
So, yeah. We also got to play...
Bumps.
Wow, Bumpy Road.
Indiana.
Of our own, we got to play a few different things. We played Storm Chasers.
Storm Chasers, and they pretty much collectively ripped it to shreds.
Yep.
By that time, Seth Jaffe also came over and kind of looked over our shoulders and had some comments as well.
Yep.
They resoundingly made it clear to me that the game was not finished. And, yes. And I mean, I knew that. I knew that, but I didn't realize how far I had to go. But that, I was actually really worrying. That was the kind of stuff that, like, you know, that's why it's good to have other designers play your games.
It is, it is. Yeah. So,
tear it down, and they basically came up with about 25 different ways to rebuild it. So I need to take all that in and think about it.
Yeah. And then you had to go meet AJ for a bit.
I did.
And they played Potent Potions, and what you missed on that was, if you had seen the two, you would have thought that they really, really loved Storm Chasers and thought it needed no changes, because they really hated Potent Potions.
Yeah.
So, but out of that, Isaac in particular had a couple just little ideas that I think I was able to kind of take as a seed to a new version of it.
Uh-huh.
And that's something I'm pretty excited to get working on in the next couple weeks here.
Cool.
So that for Grand Con, I can have a new version to be testing out. And that is exciting stuff. So, yeah, I'm excited about being able to do that.
True.
Yeah, did we play anything else?
I don't think we did. I went and, like I said, met with AJ and kind of got the... confirmed the plan for the event schedule, and that was good. And we were chatting. I still actually have not played Saloon Tycoon with the Kickstarter bonus tiles, and they were playing a game upstairs and at the Hyatt, and it was going really well.
Good.
So it was the first time I'd actually seen somebody play with the bonus tiles, because for the demos we were running, we were not using the bonus tiles. We were
right, yeah, you wanted to keep it simple for
right.
the, you know.
Yeah, so that was really cool. I was glad to see that a lot of those ideas worked out really well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And then Thursday morning we got up and...
I had to go straight to a demo.
Yep, and I pretty much went straight to my AEG pitch.
Yep.
So I was really happy with how that went. I'll probably get more info later, but to go more into it, but I was happy with how it went. It was a very positive experience.
Mm-hmm.
The guy hosting, Ryan Dancy, his name is.
Yep, Ryan Dancy.
Fantastic gentleman.
Yeah, nice guy.
Really, really easy to talk to. He asked a lot of great questions. Mm-hmm. You can tell that guy really likes games,
yeah.
Right? And he likes talking to designers about games, and I still am so appreciative for the opportunity. That they gave everybody by doing the pitches the way they did, setting them up. I hope they continue to do that. If they do, I will be first on the list again next year to go in.
I hope more publishers and, take a cue from that. That was super awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was so great. It was just so accessible, right?
Right, and it made sure that all the designers were getting with him on his terms, you know?
Yep.
I bet that's really, really useful for somebody in his position.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
know,
yeah.
For any publisher. Just, you know, trying to be able to quantify the experience, you know.
And even, you know, for designers, if he doesn't take your game, who cares? Like,
yeah.
You got in there, you got to talk to him, you got some FaceTime, you got to practice.
Right.
And you got to practice with a guy who's a good guy to practice with. He's super nice. So,
yeah.
Like,
yep.
Both of us have had pitch meetings that were not that great because the publisher was not as nice
right.
as he was.
Right.
And he was really nice. So, So look out for that again next year. If we hear about it next year, we'll certainly talk more about it and
yeah.
make sure everybody knows. And I mentioned to him that we did talk about it on the show, and he thought that was great. And hopefully at some point we'll get him on the show. He was very open to that idea.
That'd be great. We'd love to.
Yeah, to just talk about his process and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
anyways, so you did your demos. How'd those first demos go?
Really good. I think, let's see, first game we had, I think, 12 people. We ran three games. It was 12. Maybe it was 11. Anyway, enough people to do two four-player games plus some overflow. Really positive there. The crew running demos for AJ and Evan were all good dudes. I can't remember all of their names now. Nate and Adam and Chase and I think Matt. I can't remember the other names. Sorry, guys. Anyway, they were all really solid, knew the games, knew what they were doing, and met a lot of fun people playing the games. It's just cool to see people playing my game, you know?
Yeah, that's
yeah.
really awesome. Had the banner with your name on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so the first session ran about an hour and 40 minutes. because so we started a little late. We wanted to make sure we gave people time to sit down, and then explanations. And I was explaining to two groups at once how to play, which is kind of slows everything down.
Right.
Plus, I was a little rusty, honestly. Been a while.
I know the feeling where you're like, yeah. Somebody's like, let me play this game of yours, and you're like,
yeah.
How do we play this?
Not that I don't know how to play, but just. It's rusty on my delivery, you know, my explanation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You haven't done it in a while, yeah.
Whatever.
You have to double think about some rules and, right, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
But yeah, that was cool. After that, I think I found you guys.
Yeah, yeah. We started walking the hall, right?
Right, we walked the hall a little bit. Didn't really stop and do much, just kind of doing the initial walkthrough, scoping everything out.
Yep, it's always nice to do on Thursday.
And then lunch. And then after lunch, I went back to do some more demos.
Yep, and I made one purchase on the first day, which was I got Vikings on board.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. It was $40. It was a really good price for as much cardboard as in that box. And they came with a Gen Con promo of these wooden barrels you could use for bedding instead of the standard little cardboard pieces. I was pretty excited about that. And that was just a Gen Con promo they were doing. That Katarski and some others had told me that was really, really fun, easy game to get into. So that I bought that one. That was all I bought really on Thursday, I think. Mostly
yeah.
Just looking around other than that.
I didn't buy anything here. But we picked up those meeples on Friday, didn't we?
Yeah, it was Friday, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll get back to that. So did my pitches again. Took about an hour and a half this time. I split off and after that, and I think I hooked back up with you, and we walked the hall a little more.
Yep.
And
then it was your turn to pitch.
Yeah, it was my turn to pitch. Yeah, to AEG. Went in there with Storm Chasers. I had made some changes from the night before, but you know, was not as confident about it as I was before the playtest. And he didn't seem interested in it. You know, he didn't take a copy, and that's fine. He really should not have. Considering that I just put that through the game together as quickly
right.
as I did before the pitch.
We did do some playtesting ahead of time and make some changes that
were
very solid.
That's right, yeah.
And rebalanced the game quite well without having to change any cards,
right.
which is awesome.
Just rules and scoring changes.
Right.
So that was good. Yeah. So we went back to the room and we did that before the pitch, right. And he was positive about it, but he basically said, you know, this would take a lot of work for us to market this. You know, it's not just kind of an easy thing to fit into their
line.
To their line, yeah. You know, it had been described to us before as their line is they want games the Venn diagram of Target and your local game store. They want stuff that fits into the overlap there, which is a totally logical market,
right?
And he said that didn't really fit there, and he's probably right. That probably fits more in the Target market, but not really the local game store market.
Yeah, I can see that doing all right in that because it's, you know, it's real, right? It's,
yeah.
You know, it's Storms.
Right.
So.
And then we had some time, and I said, you know, hey, I've got this other little micro game. It's just a two-player, 18-card game. I'd love to show that to you. And he was all about that. So I showed him Treasure Trouble. I like that the first question he asked me for both games is, who are you? Who's the player?
Yes.
I thought that was a cool thing. And,
yep.
I like that he cared about kind of the player's identity
yes.
in the experience. I think understanding that kind of helps the player feel grounded.
Yeah, and I think that it makes it more approachable, right? When you
right.
can say, you are doing this,
right.
right? You are him, this person, and you are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
That's very helpful to approachability for
yeah.
Somebody who doesn't know.
Right. So I explained that premise. You know, hey, you're leading a group of adventurers in the dungeon, and you're done with the dungeon, and you ran into another party while you were in there. They're doing the same thing. And you just finished defeating the dragon, the big boss monster. So that's all over. The story's done with. Now you just got to figure out who gets the treasure. And he geeked out about that. He said, I love that. I love that you don't have to explain the whole story.
Right.
You know, I love that we're just focused on this one little moment in the story. And in general, that pitch went really well. He seemed very happy about it. And he did take a copy of mine back of that with him.
If we're saying that, I'm going to go ahead and say that he also took a copy of Ramblers.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we were saying that, but since we are, yes.
Might as well.
So
he didn't seem too concerned about secrecy or
that's true.
Anything
I mean,
like that.
Obviously, the pitches were completely out in the open because they were all in that spreadsheet that we could all see. So
right. So So yeah. He took a copy, and that's great. I don't expect anything to come of it, but again, it's just experience. It's yeah.
And I kind of felt the same way. I mean, it was gratifying and a nice morale boost to have them want a copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we know they didn't take copies of everything, obviously. So you know, that makes you feel good that they you know, with my pitch, he was smiley, he was happy about it, and he thought it fit them, you know, somewhat. So yeah, makes me happy too.
So anyway. Yeah, so after that, then I found you guys, and we got some dinner. And then what did we do after dinner? I guess we just went back to the hall and played some games, didn't we?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Or do we go back to the Hyatt again and play games? Man.
I don't recall.
I don't think we went back to the hall and played games.
After
we did.
After we got dinner? Where did we go to dinner on Thursday?
Where did we go? Oh, did we go
to the Indian place.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Right, we went to the Indian place, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah, we went with Nate and company.
Nate and Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? We did go back because we played Nate's game.
Oh, man, it's all blurring together. We did.
We played Nate's game.
We did play Nate's game.
It was the game where you're trying to steal stuff.
Right.
I don't remember the name, but you were trying to steal stuff out of the...
right, like a jewel heist. Thieves or jewel heist. That's right, okay.
Yeah, that was fun. And I don't remember if we played that at the hall?
We played that at Hall D.
We did.
Right.
Yeah, we did.
Right.
Yeah, because then... So that was the night I went back a little early, because I was just beat after that.
Yeah,
so.
And then we went back... So, yeah, so you went up to the room, and the rest of us hung out at the Hyatt and had a couple of beers.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There we go, we're back on track.
Hey, now we remember. Woo!
Right.
Oh, yeah, because I went back and got one drink, which was $17.
Yeah, well, you got a...
It was a double, but
right,
I mean, it was still one drink. Wasn't anything that fancy.
No, right.
So.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Thursday.
Yes.
Friday again, I started my day running demos of Tycoon.
And I started by shopping. How'd your demos go?
Once again, really, really well. There was, that was the afternoon, was a little girl, so I'll come back to that. But yeah, it went really well. Everybody was rolling. They had plenty of demo guys, so I actually left about 45 minutes in, because
cool.
They were doing okay, so I skedaddled out of there, and caught up with you, and we walked around a bit more. So you just shopped then on Friday?
Yeah,
Friday.
I was looking around for stuff. I was trying to find some stuff for the kids, for my wife, and I found two great games that my kids are going to love. I was really looking for a game. I have a 2-year-old and 4-year-old, as I've said before, and I was trying to find one that Laurel, my 2-year-old, could play as well, other than just Josiah, the 4-year-old. So I was excited to find two games at Haba, where they had My First Orchard, which is about you're just rolling dice, trying to collect things from the orchard, fruits from the orchard, before the crow gets there to eat them.
Mm.
And the game plays itself. There's one thing you can roll on the die that gives you a choice of what to do.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, the game plays itself. But it's great for a 2- and 4-year-old to learn how to play those types of games.
Sure.
And then I also got a fishing game where you roll the dice and it tells you what fish to try and get. And there's like wooden magnetic fish and a pole.
Great.
You're trying to catch the fish, and then it helps you put a puzzle together. And yeah, I think it's pretty cool. So, and I got a huge, nice bag for buying those games, which is nice, because then I was able to put all the rest of my loot in there.
Yeah.
I also bought myself a knitted Pokeball. It's like a hacky sack, but twice the size. It is very gratifying to toss it in the air and catch it.
It is pretty satisfying.
So,
it's true, yeah.
That is basically all I... Oh, and I also... I did. Found a guy who was doing art that you could purchase. And actually, I feel like I did this on Thursday. I think actually I did this on Thursday and picked it up on Friday. Yeah, I did. It was a guy doing art where you could give him a picture of yourself or kids or something. And he drew Josiah and Laurel as a Jedi and Sith fighting each other. So, and it's pretty cute. I was pretty excited. My wife was pretty excited about it as well. So that was kind of my whole day, Thursday, shopping around and stuff.
You had
afternoon demos though. You did,
right? We did stop at one point. We the Meatlesaurus booth. They kind of had a big bin of surplus meatballs.
$6 for $10.
So we each picked out 6, and we're gonna do something with those at some point in the show.
Yeah, we might do some sort of pitch challenges.
Yeah,
where we do a somewhat of a pitch around the those meeples somehow.
Yeah, but I don't know how that'll work, but whatever. It was just silly.
We'll do something with it. So
their meeples are so fun.
Oh, they are. There's so many of them.
Yeah. So then more demos. So yeah, Friday afternoon ran demos, and Tycoon was it went great again. A family sat down with a boy and a girl, and the boy was probably, I don't know, 11 or 12, and the girl couldn't have been more than 8 years old. And I was a little nervous, you know, I don't know if this is going to be a bit too much for her, but she got it immediately. She totally understood.
Awesome.
Yeah. Everything made sense to her. She asked smart questions. I was really, really impressed. She didn't win, so I'm not saying that you know, the child's mind is the best one
right.
for the game, but
she had fun.
She had fun.
She built stuff, and
she was definitely in the game, and she knew what was going on.
Oh, that's great.
So that was rewarding for the accessibility of the game. I was
good
very,
job to those parents as well.
Absolutely,
for having a kid that was ready to do that.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Cool. So that was fun.
Then we went and got dinner. We got an earlier dinner that night on Friday.
Did. Yeah.
So because that was important. Because after dinner, you and I had, well, actually we prepped before dinner.
Right.
We went to the hotel, sat for a while, rested, and prepped for the Iron Design Challenge.
Uh-huh.
And, so had dinner, then went down to the Conrail station in the Crown Plaza.
Yeah, it was in the Crown Plaza, not the ICC.
As it was listed in the online version. Of course, not as it was listed in the program, since it wasn't listed.
It wasn't listed in the program.
Thanks for nothing, Gen Con.
We've already heard from one builder who went to the wrong place because he couldn't find it.
Yes, thanks, Gen Con.
Just
thanks for that.
But despite that, we did have a good turnout.
Yeah, we had a really good turnout, actually.
Yeah.
And this, once again, was the most fun challenge we've had. Every year it gets better.
Yep.
We learn more. The contestants learn to expect more. And, you know, oh, wow. We had Isaac versus Ryan, and it was so good.
It was a heated competition.
It was, and we had three judges as always. We had our head judge, John Gilmore, the esteemed John Gilmore.
Yep.
We had Joshua Mills from last year's competition, and then we also had Nate Darty, our friend, who was second winner in a contest when the original winner could not make it. But yeah. So it went very, very well, and gosh, it was lots of fun. So we can talk about who won, right?
Yeah.
So Ryan Cowler
was
the new Iron Design Champion for this year, for the third annual. So he will be helping us craft some new things for next year. And Isaac was our runner-up.
Yep.
And he will be a judge next year.
He certainly will.
So that should be good.
Kind of part of me thinks that maybe the second place person gets the better deal because they don't have all the responsibility on their shoulders
right.
of being a winner.
Right.
But they do get to come back and be a judge.
Right.
You know? So I feel like if I was a contestant, I might rather lose.
Which is probably good because you probably would. So.
Well.
Especially if it was against me. So, you know.
I wouldn't say that, but it's a good thing we're not eligible.
It's a good thing we're not eligible.
You know?
So, but we, you know, if there's one thing I think we learned this year, it's that don't underestimate the contestants.
Yeah.
We thought we made the hardest challenge possible this year, and we clearly need to try harder to make it even worse next year.
Absolutely do.
Because, you know, we had so many things that we thought would be difficult, like charades, under a short time limit with multiple game titles. That included game names like Machi Koro, and yeah, they did it. They did it.
That was
very impressive. I stand in awe once again of the awesome people that we are represented by in our community when they do this challenge.
Yep.
So after that, we got to go and have some food and some drinks with. Several people with Nate and company, and also
Nate, Dan, and Dennis, and Isaac and Matt.
Yep, and then obviously you, me, and Christine, and we all got to hang out, and it was a great time. Where did we go? The Claddagh?
The Claddagh.
Yeah. Nice place in back there. Had an awesome waiter who was really nice, who was very patient with us as we hung out for quite a while. But Then after that, we went back to, where did we go after that? We actually called it a night after that. You and Christina, I think, went and had another drink.
We did.
I left with Isaac and Matt, and we all went back to the hotel. It was a long day, so...
It was.
It felt good just to... Again, the hotel was so close, it felt good to just go take a rest and hang out for a little while. So Saturday, of course, the biggest day of Gen Con in general.
Yeah, I hadn't really had any time to really go through the vendor hall the way I wanted to. So they, AJ's demo crew just had it so under control that I just stopped by the 10 o'clock show and said hi to everybody, to all the players. And then I split and I walked through the hall because I needed to.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we did that. You and I did that. So that was kind of my only purchase day when I bought some stuff. So what did I pick up? I got, we looked at the Rather Dashing booth.
Yep.
Rather Dashing. I picked up their Haunted Ghosts game.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called.
Oh boy, I feel bad now. But it's a tile placement game. You're trying to place tiles to kind of connect ghosts of your color. And you can place tiles and you can rotate them and flip them around and stuff to mess with your opponents, to screw up their combos. And you can place a haunted house down to kind of lock stuff together. It looked like just kind of a really a nice, accessible tile placement game. And I like tile placement games with some fun twists. And that was cheap. That was like $20, I think.
Yeah.
And they said they had a deal that if you buy one game, you can get four taverns for $10.
Yes.
And Fort Taverns is a really good game, and $10 is a steal.
It is. It is, absolutely.
So I grabbed those two. What else did I get?
You bought the Board Game Bento Box.
Yeah, the Board Game Bento Box, which I guess is a subscription service. You sign up, and it was $50 a month, and they send you a box with board games in it. And they say they guarantee 3 games a month, total, or overall, an $80 value in the $50 a month box. I don't need a subscription service, but the box they were offering at Gen Con was kind of curated with their 3 favorite games from the past year for just $40 for the one box. I went ahead and went for that because, you know, I like the surprise.
Yeah.
And $40, knowing for sure that there's 3 games, then that's not bad.
Yeah, no, not at all. That's a good deal. And they said it was about $70 worth of games.
Yeah, So that seemed like a good deal. Inside the box, I don't know if I probably shouldn't say, should I?
Yeah, probably not. But it was 3 games. It was a party game. This is what they told you ahead of time.
Yeah.
It was a party game. There was one that worked really well for 2 players, but also played more than that. Mm-hmm. And there was just another general 2-6 player game.
Yeah. And they all 3 looked cute. One particularly, actually, I'm pretty excited about. I'd not heard of any of them before.
No, me either.
One of them actually looks like kind of really right up my alley, which makes me happy.
Yeah, I mean, and with 3 games, as long as one of them seems up your alley, you've already gotten a deal, so, you know.
Right. The other thing I found was Tales of Arcana.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm actually pretty jazzed about this game. I haven't played it yet, of course, but... The demo looks like it was just a single guy. He had run a Kickstarter for this game, and it's a role playing system.
Yep.
But it's a deck of cards, and the structure as he introduced it to us is I think it was 5 decks. One deck is a bunch of different races, and the next deck is a bunch of different character classes, and then there's a deck of weapons and a deck of negative character traits, and I don't remember what the other one is. But character creation in the game, you just basically flip over one of each of those cards, and then each of the players has to play that character. They have to figure out who that character is, and they play that character in the game. And then, of course, you know, the game master still has to do some prep, but the game master can also use that deck as sort of improving parts of the story.
Right.
You know, for example, he could say, "All right, you guys you're in a dungeon and you encounter a group of," and you flip over a race card and it's a group of gnomes.
Right.
And they're attacking you with, and you flip over a weapon with crossbows or whatever, right? So that kind of structure, I really like that improv-y nature of it.
Yep.
That encourages role-playing and not rolling dice and checking stats.
Yep.
So that kind of stuff I really get into. And then the coolest thing is, he said the way it's structured is that, let's say you get into a combat encounter and a character, the example he gave us, somebody runs up and steals your backpack and he runs away. And the character they had on the table was a vampire. And the character says, okay, well, I'm a vampire, which means I'm really fast, so I'm just going to run and catch him. And then to signify that he used his vampire powers, he flips the card over face down. That's what the player would do.
Yep.
And then you roll a die to see how successful you were at that.
Yep. Just and a D6.
Just a D6, just right. Yep. And then that shakes out, you know. But now that player who's playing the vampire has to leave his vampire card face down.
Right.
And he can't use any more vampire powers until he uses the other four cards in his character.
Right.
And only after he uses the fifth one can they all flip back over. And that would include, then, the negative character trait.
Right.
Has to be addressed in some way for role-playing.
Yep.
I think that... I love that idea. I think that really requires players to improvise and kind of inhabit their character and force them to put their own characters into awkward positions, which yep. I think really encourages fun storytelling. And fun exploration.
I think so too.
So I cannot wait to run a game of this with some friends. I'm super pumped. I haven't been this excited about an RPG in a long time.
And I was even thinking about too, you know, you've got the weapon is one of the things. Like,
yeah.
You could totally, the weapon and a couple other things, I think towards the end there, you could totally, if somebody completes a quest, flip over a random one and say, you've got this now. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
I mean, totally.
Yeah, easy way
ways
to get some loot.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, and you know, and you combine that with like Paizo has those generic card decks, just like a bunch of character faces
yep.
or magic items or whatever. So you throw that into the mix, and I think you've really got something that again is kind of improv-y and fun and exciting. And,
right, low on the preparation side.
Right, and it's designed to be used as a one-shot thing.
Yep.
And I just can't commit to running a whole campaign. So I love this idea. I think it's talesofarcana.com. Unfortunately, the guy at the booth was the designer and publisher. He said that business had been a little slow for him for the weekend.
But it was funded on Kickstarter.
It was funded on Kickstarter, so I hope that continues to be successful. You know, if that sounds like something that builders you're interested in, I highly recommend you check it out. He also said that on the website there are a lot of campaign ideas and
yep.
and stuff to help you get started.
Which is really smart.
Which is extremely smart, yeah. So I thought it was spectacular. All the art was really good.
It was good. And it was, some of the races were very funny.
Yeah.
Robots and stuff like that.
Right.
And,
yeah, it's not just generic fantasy. It was definitely its own unique world.
And as he pointed out, if there's something you don't care for, take it out.
Just take it out of the deck. No big deal. Yeah. It doesn't fit what you're doing. One of the characters was even like the cart people from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
So I liked that a lot. Did I pick up anything else that day? I don't think. I think that was all I got.
And I was trying to find something fun for my kids to play with, and ended up going back and getting them each a knitted Pokemon ball, a Pokeball, with their initial on it, so their first letter of their name. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That lady was awesome.
She was super awesome.
Crafty something her name was. She, I think it was Crafty Hacks or something like that,
mm-hmm.
but she... it was like $7 a piece for those. So, and they're good quality. They're tough, you know. She had some really intricate stuff. She had a Chomp Chomp from...
I think it's a Chain Chomp.
I thought it was a Chomp Chomp.
I think it's a Chain Chomp. Because there's a Chomp, and then there's the Chain Chomp. Chain Chomp is on a chain.
Oh, could be.
The Chomp is just the guy who can run loose.
Could be, yeah.
Because he was on a chain.
But either way.
Anyway.
It was cool.
Yeah. So. She had some neat, like, quilts and things, too.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff. So, I didn't buy much else that day. I bought some dice that I'm going to use to...
Dice.
Yeah, kind of inspired me to make a proto, which I'll talk more about hopefully in the coming weeks. That's one that I'd like to try and do. I want to kind of challenge myself to make a simple dice game with these five specific dice that are weather-related. I think I've got a pretty solid start. And, you know, I'm challenging myself to try and make it simple, easy, playable, you know, not lots of components, just maybe a tableau or two.
Yeah.
And all stuff that would fit in a smaller box. And I just want to try and design something kind of light and fun. So hopefully I'll have something like that to play around at Grand Con with, is my hope. Oh, we also, on Friday, when I missed this, we had tested Six Gun Shogun for me.
Oh, yeah.
And that probably went better than Potent Potions did with the guys, but not great. I knew going into that game that there could be some major problems with it. And there were quite a few problems around the actions and the motivations. And I had changed some rules during the prototyping phase. And I was kind of late when I was making some of the prototyping phases, the stuff. And Christine, who was playing with us, was an outlaw. Because you have these secret goal cards you get at the beginning. And she was like, I don't understand how I win. I feel like it's like impossible for me to win. And we realized it pretty much was impossible for her to win. So that was an oops. So we'll see. I'm going to make some more notes on it and see if it's worth making some tweaks. I will still like the core mechanic of playing the building with the character attached to it and then, kind of using those characters to move around and do things. But I need to really move some stuff around. There were some things that were just kind of confusing to people, and I can totally see why. Basically, I need to simplify the game, make it a little smaller, and then see if it's viable. And if it is, I'll keep working on it. And if it's not, I won't. It's no big deal. We try some things and they don't work, and that's totally okay.
Yeah, but I think you have plenty of room in that.
Yeah,
that you can keep going.
So back to Saturday. Saturday we also did our Building the Game live show.
Yep.
Which had a pretty small turnout. Partly, at least, I think, was because of the amazing location once again given us to by Gen Con,
yeah.
The middle of nowhere in Victoria Station, which we knew some people could not find, so that's right. Exciting. But the people that were there were great, as always. We had something happen that was pretty sweet, which was VC Young, our pal, who's been listening to the show for quite a while, came once again. This is his at least second year, maybe third year. I think it might just be his second year coming to the show.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But he brought us presents. He brought us craft soda that we were super excited about. Oh. Old school ones that we like Kickapoo Joy Juice. And,
well, if you heard last week's show, then you heard that.
Yeah. I forgot, so... That's already published. But anyways, super nice of him. We love you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Always means a lot. So we gave away some prizes. That was cool.
Huh?
And, So, Saturday. What did we do for the rest of Saturday? I think after shopping, we went and grabbed some dinner. Yeah, we all went to Champions, which we haven't done in a while.
Yeah.
Which was tasty.
Yep.
And, we used to go there every year. We skipped a couple of years. It wasn't great for a couple of years. And then what's funny is it's literally right across the street from the vendor hall. Like, literally right across the street.
Well, from the gaming hall, the open gaming hall.
Yeah, from the gaming hall.
Yeah.
So, and what's hilarious to me is it's not busy. Like, it's not that busy. It's like, it's so close that people assume it will be swamped, so they just keep walking and go somewhere else.
Well, because the focus, the main entrance has moved from that side
right,
of the ICC to a different side, to a different street, to several blocks down, because the ICC was rebuilt, remodeled, so just it's not by the main entrance.
Right.
Right.
But benefits to us.
Yeah.
Because we could go there and eat fairly quickly. And we went with, it was you and me, Christine, Mr. Kopak was with us,
yep.
Jason Katarski, and Josh Mills.
Yep.
Had a good dinner, had a good time, and then after that we went back to the hall, and we just did some gaming.
Played a bunch of games.
Chris Kopak always has crazy games we've never played before that we love.
He rolls with such a good box.
He does. We got to play a Bluxen, which was pretty fun.
I can't remember if we played that last year or not.
The foxes, I feel like maybe we were going to play it and then didn't.
Maybe, because I
certainly saw the foxes.
Because I know I've seen those cards before, but I did not remember any of the gameplay.
Yeah. And the gameplay is weird. It takes a game or two to really fully understand what the heck is happening.
It's a little counterintuitive.
But it was fun, and it was brain-burning.
I think we played that twice.
We were going to, but then we ended up playing another game.
Oh, okay.
We also got to play Las Vegas, which we love. His version is just Vegas.
Yeah.
That's so good. That is a tradition for us to be able to play that with
so
him.
Good.
And,
oh man!
This year we got to have Josh Mills and Ryan Cowler join in, and that was fun.
Yeah.
Because they've never played it with us, and Ryan and Josh had actually never played it, which is crazy because they both have played so many games. But they both very much enjoyed it and had fun with it as well.
Garbage Day.
Garbage Day. So Garbage Day is a game where it comes with a garbage can.
It comes in a garbage can,
yeah. And you flip the lid of the garbage can over, and you have to play cards either on the garbage can, stacking them on top, or you have to play them to your room. And if your room gets too full, then you have to play them on the garbage can. And then you've got this thing called Overflow, which in a five-player game like we're playing is three cards. Only three cards can fall off of the stack that you're putting, which is kind of silly because generally you knock off about 20 cards when you do it.
Hey, one time I did it, I did it twice. Well, the second time I was out of the game, but the first time I only lost two cards.
Right, yes.
So.
The design of that game is really amazing. The on the cards, about three-quarters of the way up, maybe even four-fifths of the way up, they have two holes in the card. And I was kind of like, that's weird. Why are there holes in the card? Because when you stack the card on top of the garbage can, the card has to be stacked in a way so that the two holes can see through to the table.
Yep.
And that is the most amazing design.
It's really
smart. Because it means that there's no arguments about whether it's legal or not.
Right.
It is. It is or it isn't.
Either you can see through it or you can't.
Yeah. So that was pretty awesome. We played that game for a long time.
It did take a long time. Because we were all apparently really good at it.
Yes, yes.
Not me, but...
Well, to be fair...
Well, I got screwed on that.
What happens is it builds up and gets terrible, and then someone knocks it all down, and then it kind of resets. And so it ended up being Christine and I were co-winners because we burned through the entire deck and got rid of every single card we had, and neither one of us biffed it, which means we both won, which was good. I was done with the game at that point. Like, you wouldn't want to play it too much longer than that. But it was a lot of fun.
It looks like they had a ton of expansions too. I think Chris had bought all.
There were two he had bought. One of which was the smelly expansion, which was that had cards with smells on them, and then you could play a card that would force you to move smell cards around, which was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun. We also played. I was trying to save the one for last
right.
to talk about. Is that all we played?
I feel like there was something else in there.
Well, the day before, actually, with Chris, we had played a game. What did we play with Chris the day before? Remember, we were taking a break before our show on Saturday. Before our show, we played a game. Gosh, what was that?
It was a
game here. It was not Tausch Rausch.
It was Dick Dran.
Dick Dran. Yeah.
Dick Dran. Dick Dran.
Yeah.
Dick Dran.
Yeah.
D-I-C-H-T-D-R-A-N.
Yeah, something like
another
that.
Another German game.
German game. And it was really good.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. Another numbers on cards game.
Yeah. Oh, it was good.
Yeah.
He makes me so jealous because there's so many games I'd like to order, but, like, I don't know how to get them.
Amazon.de.
So, right. And then navigate through German and then try to...
Yeah.
Some point, the list would be big enough of games that I want from there that I'll just do it because it'll make sense to get them.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so yeah, that was. Actually, I know people that go to Essen. I should just try and make them look for
sure. The highlight of Saturday night.
Oh my gosh, was Imagine.
Imagine.
Imagine, if you haven't heard of it, is a game by Game Rights. The idea of the game is you're trying. You have a topic. You have a card that has a topic on it. And then under that topic is a very specific thing. So it might be objects, and then what you're looking for is a stapler, but something like that. Usually it's a little more involved than that. Or a phrase, you know, knock your socks off, something like that. And then what you'll have is a bunch of cards all on the table. You can use any ones you want that are see-through cards. They're plastic see-through cards with very simple drawings on them.
Simple geometric shapes or symbols or
people.
Yeah, like, road sign people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, oh my gosh. Wow, yeah. That game. Your goal is to, on your turn, say what the topic is, and then try to get people to guess the specific item you're looking for by using these people and these symbols. And you can animate them, and you can use them in so many different ways.
Animate them by, like, sliding the cards around.
Yeah, and, oh my gosh, it is just stupid simple, but so amazing.
It was so fun.
My gosh.
And I don't think we were really following the rules, because Chris had left the rules in his room.
Right. And so it didn't really matter.
Yeah, we just kind of played it our own way, and it was great. And then we just kind of kept poking at it for like another hour. Yeah. Oh, I want to do that. Let me do one. This looks like a good one. Let me try this one.
And we would purposely kept picking the hardest ones we could think of.
Yeah.
And I don't think we failed on any of them. I mean,
we achieved all of them at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, what's interesting was somebody would be doing one and you'd be like, I don't get it. And then they would change what they were doing and almost immediately be like, oh, it's this. Like, because based on those two references, oh my gosh, that was my favorite game of the con.
Yeah, it was great. That was so good.
So needless to say, we both went and bought said game today.
Yeah.
So that was it for Saturday nights. So this morning we got up. We went ahead and we...
I went over to the Van Ryder booth.
Oh, yep.
Hung out there for about an hour and talked to some people about Tycoon. And did some, ran some people through the game structure and got a lot of excitement. A couple of people had actually bought it earlier in the con and came back to ask questions about it. One guy actually came back to buy the expansions.
Nice.
Which was pretty cool.
That is.
So that was neat. I had one guy, I explained it all to him, and he's like, oh, this is really good. I'm full. I don't have any room in my suitcase. Maybe I'll come back. And I said, well, I mean, I am the designer, and I'm going to be here for about another half an hour. And then I'm done. But if you buy it now, I'd be happy to sign it for you. He's like, oh, you're killing me. and I said, also, I don't know if two-player matters to you, but it's really good with two players. And he said, oh, geez. You're just twisting the knife. So he grabbed a copy. That was pretty cool.
Awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, today I just walked around for a bit. I went over to say goodbye to Katarski and ended up working his booth for just a few minutes for him. I sold two copies of Walk on Fire. I feel like I did a good job. He was like, hey, I need to do this thing over here. Can you explain this game to some people? And I love that game, so I'm more than happy to evangelize for it. And those copies kind of sell themselves. They're super cheap, right?
Oh, yeah.
He sold a lot of his playmats. Oh, you got a playmat, actually.
You picked one up for me.
Yeah, I
pay you back for that still.
Oh, yeah. Well, I owe you a lot of money for a hotel room, so I feel like we're probably square for
that. And parking.
Yeah. And gas. So, yeah. Probably just take that right off there.
Yeah,
so,
no problem.
But no, that was great. He was selling that for $10 as an add-on. It was great. So sold a lot of copies of that, he said, and some other stuff was selling good. He was also sharing a booth with Kids Table, Games, which is Josh and Helena Capel. Super duper nice people. I got to meet them. I'm sorry I didn't get to chat with them longer. That is because Helena kept making jokes about that. She's from Canada, so every time she would say sorry, she would say it like four times at Jason's face. He must have been teasing her about that all weekend. So that was cool. They have a game called Food Fighters, which looks really cute. I didn't get a chance to try it, but it looks really cute. The artwork is really good. I think Josh did the artwork, and they designed it together, or Helena designed it. They also have another game coming to Kickstarter soon called Problem Picnic.
I saw that. That was
good. Yeah, so you put out a bunch of tiles, little cards that are shaped like tiles. You put those out, and they are your picnic, and then you roll dice with ants on them trying to get the food. And so it's a dexterity game where you roll dice with ants on them trying to land on the food to claim certain pieces of food, and it's got some really cool catch-up mechanics and stuff, and it will definitely be an instant back for me on Kickstarter. My kids are going to love that.
Sure. I love that there are ants on the dice. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, what a great idea, So very, very clever. I'm very into that. Yeah, so it was great to meet them as well. And then we didn't do much more this morning. And
then we just we cut out. Yeah. That was the end.
Now you find us here, recording this podcast.
So builders that we bumped into. At the end of the day, today on Sunday, we both met Kevin.
Yep.
Didn't get into last name Kevin, but...
Yeah, he happened upon me randomly.
Yeah.
He was talking to Jason Katarski, and he's like, don't they talk about you in the Building the Game podcast? And he's like, they do. He's like, actually, Jason's right here behind me. So, and then I was like,
you sent him over to.
Yeah, he asked where you were, and I said, well, he's at the Van Ryder booth right now. You should go see him. So,
yeah, he came right over there.
Yeah, and he did. So that was awesome.
Good to meet you, Kevin. Thanks for backing Tycoon.
Yep.
We met, so Bo was around, but we did not meet up with Bo.
I'm so sorry that we missed you, Bo.
Who else? Let's see. Crap.
So, from the show, Doug was there.
Doug was there,
Doug was very nice. VC and his
Rob was his friend.
Yep. And then his girlfriend, I didn't catch her name.
I'm not sure.
Significant other. She was there with him last year, I believe, too. Yep. So,
oh, boy. I feel like there are a few other people.
No, of course, we saw Robert, or Senior Bob.
Yeah, Senior Bob.
As always. We didn't get to play any games with him. I was kind of bummed, but I saw him several times. Around in Hall D and other places. Mm-hmm. We saw the Zinsleys, as we always do.
Always do. Didn't have time to hang out there.
No, I got to talk to Chris a couple times. I saw Suzanne for like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
We saw Kevin Culp a few times. He didn't play games with him, but he was doing a lot of hard demoing for ILO. Every time I saw that guy, he was working.
Yeah.
He's a really good demoer, too. So, So, and he's demoing for ILO. I mean, it's not like when you're at those booth demoing, you know, it's not like you're working hard. I mean, people are coming to you. You know what I mean? Like, you're working hard doing demos, but you're not working hard to get people in to do demos because it's ILO, so they're happy to come demo.
Right.
And I know he's been doing that for them for a few years now.
Yes, yeah.
Other builders that we saw, obviously we saw Nate. We got to hang out with Nate quite a bit, which is always good.
Mm-hmm. It's killing me. I feel like there's somebody else important that I'm forgetting.
I'm certain there is, because we're terrible at remembering people when we meet them. So we also met at the Iron Design Challenge some different people who we hadn't met before. Jeff. Jeff, was your name Jeff? Gosh, I hope your name is Jeff. You were a super nice guy, and you came to the challenge all the way out there. Appreciate that.
Oh boy, I'm too fatigued. I'm losing the other names.
I know. We should like write down names for any people. Because I'm terrible with names, but Jeff, I can describe which you had a beard, you had a hat on, I can describe what you were wearing. your name may not be Jeff, but you were a nice guy. Getting water when I met you. Oh, Matt Warden. We did see Matt Warden. Yep.
Good to see you, Matt.
Yep. He was helping out Mr. Katarski. Also, Katarski's friend Eric.
Yep.
Whose last name I don't know, but I've met Eric a few times now. He's a super good dude. Probably we'll see him at Grand Con, I bet. Mm-hmm. Usually he's over for that.
I'm sure there are more that we're forgetting.
We also saw numerous designers we know we talk about a lot that we mentioned. And a lot of designers we didn't mention that we saw, that we always see. I actually met this time Jessica from the State of Games, who I've heard and seen at a distance before, but never actually talked to her, so I got to meet her officially. She was really nice. I saw Nicole Klein for just a minute. I don't know if you saw Nicole. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, she ran into us when we were playing games.
Yep. Oh, boy.
There are so many other people we're not mentioning because we're bad at mentioning people. But yes, we had a great time. It was great to see everybody. Can't wait for next year. Hope we see some of you at some other places, like, for instance, Grand Con or Unpub.
Yep.
Or Origins again, since that's kind of become a nice thing for us. It's all been really good.
I should give a brief Epic Monster Tea Party update. Playco was at the show. They had Civicus and Danger Dinosaur there, and they were once again demoing Epic Monster Tea Party. Apparently the delay has been over some production issues, so fingers crossed that Kickstarter will go up in the next month or so. That's what their target is right now.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is great. Oh, I know one more thing I was going to say. So I got my official pre-Kickstarter copies of Unreal Estates. They're pretty, pretty cards. I got to demo that with several people this weekend. That was great. I also got to make some connections for people who possibly could do some reviews for us on it. But the early word from people has been that they really like it. And that makes me so happy.
It's a good game.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I Yeah, I feel like it's one of the better things I've designed. So
I played that with you and somebody else at one point. I think Christine and I, or maybe, was that when you were playing it with, oh crap, who was that? Was that with Chris the first time?
No, I played it with Chris, just him and I, and I played it with Josh Mills, just him and I, because they both wanted to try it. I feel bad, TC Petty really wanted to try it, and we just never got a chance to sit down together to try it. But you did, was it when I showed Nate?
Yeah, right. And I stomped everybody again.
You did.
It turns out I've played that game a lot. I'm okay at it.
Right. So even with Christine playing, you still won, which is shocking.
And it's one of those things, it's like Parade. Like, I'm pretty good at Parade.
You are.
And when I'm playing Parade, or when I think about Parade, like, I think, well, it's just numbers, it's just luck of the draw. And I know that it's not, but my gut reaction is to say that it's totally random. But
even though you win Parade, I would say 80% of the time we play.
I don't really know what I'm doing. Something about it, I guess, is just experience and some intuition.
Right.
And there's also luck of the draw in that as well.
Of course.
But it's the same kind of feeling with Unreal Estate, where I feel like there is a lot of randomness in there.
Yep.
But there's enough, you have enough control over what you're doing that you control your own fate.
Right.
And even if someone else screws you real bad,
right,
it's not like it was just totally hopeless for you.
Right. And that's, you know, that's one of the things about the game is, during the game, it can be a little swingy back and forth because you'll get a big score.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the next person will get a big score. And it's really, especially in a two player, when we're playing two player games, that, you know, you'll get big score, then big score, then big score. And it still ends up really tight in the end. But it goes back and forth quite a bit, and it's because with only two people playing, you know, it's really easy to see what your opponent has and what they're doing, to pay attention to the cards they're drafting.
I remember what it was. We were playing with Nate and Adam, and Adam and I were both hoping to get the same multiplier for the same house, and I was not sure, should I get it this round, or should I wait for the next round? So I waited for the next round. Adam and I both waited for the next round to get that score. We both pushed our luck on that. It turned out that I just was able to get that first.
Right.
If he had played more conservatively, he would have gotten points and I would have been screwed.
Yep.
And so it was just, you know, you take a chance and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yep. And one of the cool things too is that I really enjoy about the game is with kind of that pressure luck. If you want to really pay attention to the first player order, right?
Yeah.
In a two-player game, that's easy. But in a three- and four-player game, it's a little harder to pay attention to.
I think that's right.
All right, so I'm still going to go before this person. I can push this off another round and then hope somebody random doesn't sweep it. I've been really happy with the playtests and how happy with it people have been. So that makes me real happy. So, yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Well, I think that is our Gen Con experience.
I really did like Dick Drawn, though.
Yes. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
We played that at least twice, maybe three times.
Yep. Yeah, it was great. So.
Okay.
Cool.
That's probably enough.
Sounds good.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody who came out to Gen Con and saw us. And if we missed you, I'm sorry. We'll catch you next time, I hope. If you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerlin. I'm @poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook and give us a 5-star review on Podcast Places. You can call our Google Voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. And we'll be back to our regular show structure and schedule next week. So thanks for listening. We'll see you later.
Later.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast.